Now, I've got on the line Anita Hegg, who's playing a wonderful part in The Harp of the South, which is on at the Sydney Theatre Company. It's a two-part play. It's a big operation. Anita, goodness, how did you get involved in this?
Oh, I'm very privileged and excited to be part of this one. I attended a read-through of the play. Kate Mulvaney had been writing this for quite some time, and it was a much anticipated read-through, and I was lucky enough to get in the room to spend the day with some actors and creatives reading it aloud, and I just had my fingers crossed that I would be able to be part of it, and very fortunately I was cast in the role.
Wow.
So yeah,
what's your role?
I play Margaret Kilker, or Margaret Darcy. She's the sort of mother of the two girls that we sort of watch growing up,
Dola and
Rowie. So it sort of centres around this sort of Darcy family. There's Hughie and Margaret and their two girls and their child that went missing. And then all the other colourful characters in this community are sort of a part of their lives over a couple of decades, really. So you sort of watch this family evolve and grow up, and it's a really beautiful story.
And had you been familiar with the story? Had you read the book or seen the movie?
I had seen the miniseries, but
I didn't read the book,
a lot of people I know did study them at school. I was aware of them, and I think I'd read a bit of Harp in the South, but I hadn't. Delving into them again now, it was a really fantastic experience.
A wonderful, wide-ranging story. What's Kate Mulvaney done with the adaptation? What's she what's her stamp on this?
Well, I think she sort of does what Ruth Park does too. She really watches very carefully the women in this story, and I think she's very truthful to the story, but also does some things that Ruth Park wasn't able to do. Like particularly for Margaret Kilker, there's a character, a part of her story where she has a scene with her husband that's not in the book. That Kate Mulvaney's put in the play, which is, I think, probably very satisfying, particularly for a more contemporary audience.
Yes, because it is initially set in like the '20s, isn't it? Really,
right. So we start with Mrs., which was actually the book that she wrote later in her life, but it was a prequel to Harp in the South and Poor Man's Orange. So we start with this little town called Trafalgar, and we start with them kind of growing up there. So you're kind of looking at four generations, really, at this family, if you include the newborn that happens in Poor Man's Orange. So it's a very, very epic journey for this
because
family.
It's an epic family story. It kind of it makes me think of Cloud Street. Would audiences that like Cloud Street like this?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very different, and I think kind of hits differently, but it has that same thing of you growing and spending time with these characters means that you really get emotionally involved with them, I think, in the same way that you did in Cloud Street. So I think it really gives you an opportunity to get lost in their world, which you don't often get to do in theatre.
Because you've got part one and part two, and it's set around some of the issues of the time, and in Australia, of course, the big divide was the Protestant Catholic divide, and that's very, very strongly presented in the story, isn't it? The Harp of the South.
It is. That's right. But it also presents a kind of quite ethnically diverse a story as well, and that we're also addressing that we have the fruitier next door is a Chinese person, and how the family deals with having Chinese people in the community, and then we have Italians in the community. So there's a whole lot of, you're introduced to a whole lot of different communities and families in the area. So
yeah, because Surrey Hills was a cheap area to come to, and a lot of people that came to Sydney ended up in places like Surrey Hills.
That's
why it was probably the first diverse area, wasn't it, in Australia?
Yeah, I think so. In Sydney, definitely. I think it was, it's so funny now seeing how gentrified Surrey Hills is. I think it's very difficult for younger people to imagine what it was like. But there was, it was really abject poverty. It was. You know, we're talking about people living in absolute hovels with bed bugs and a lot of disease, a lot of illness and sickness, and a lot of violence as well.
Yeah, and I think one thing that people wouldn't realise these days that all the kitchen bathroom, it was really just a scullery and a bathroom, was stuck out the back. It was an add-on to the house.
Right. And there's a truck that'd come in the back lane and sort of collect, if you were lucky, come and collect all your...
The dunny waste, yeah, lovely stuff, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the pan man, I think they used to call him, didn't they? I don't know.
Yeah.
But this, of course, it's such a big story that you've got to do two plays, haven't you?
That's right.
And are you in both plays?
That's right. We're all in both.
You're all in both plays. So
yes.
So and the way that it works is you can either see them separately or see them both on different weeks or together, one after the other. Is that how it's going to work?
Well, Wednesdays and Saturdays we start at 1 o'clock and we kick off with part one there, and then there's a break. There's a dinner break. People can go into town or have a little walk around Barangaroo and go and have dinner and come back and see the second part at I think we kick off at 7:30, and the second part's a lot shorter than the first part, so you're out of there at a reasonable time. And the benefit of doing it in one day, I think, is you really get the emotional payoff of having spent a whole day with these actors and characters.
Yeah, you can binge watch. You can binge watch plays. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. It's watching your favourite HBO. That's right. But then, you know, for a lot of people, prefer to kind of do it over a couple of nights too. Just time wise, it's much more easy for them to do that. So,
do you think you're going to get a bit confused as to which play you're in?
Like,
you
know. which
have we done this before? Which day is it? Have we?
Well, that's right. Sometimes we start doing part two first, and then we do part one later. So we do it in reverse. So,
oh no, that must be very confusing for you, is it?
No, it's great.
You're all right.
It's such a joy to do. We're a well-oiled machine now. We know where
because you've
are.
Got 18 actors.
That's right.
That's a huge amount of people. How does Kip Williams wrangle them all on stage? Does he know exactly where everybody is at one point, or?
Absolutely, he's quite phenomenal in that regard. He just the way he can place actors on stage and what he knows what everyone's doing at all times. It's got an extraordinary brain and for making pictures on the stage, it's incredible.
Yeah,
and we've got Bruce Spence in there. We've got the amazing Helen Thompson, Heather Mitchell, Tara Maurice. And we have our two young girls who are the leads. We have Contessa Trifoni and Rose Riley playing Dola and Rowie. So it's really, we've got a really fantastic cast.
And of course, they're all wonderfully flawed characters, aren't they?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is that what's beautiful about what Kate's done and what Ruth Parker's done is show us these characters that you fall in love with. And just as you really just think, oh, this person's just wonderful, they do something that you just go, oh, no, why have they done that? Or why did they say that? So, you know, you really, it's not, we're not painting pretty pictures here. You know,
perfection is boring, isn't it?
You sorry?
Who needs perfection is boring.
Yes, that's right.
Who needs
perfection? So they're all deeply flawed and wonderful for it, like all humans are.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds wonderful because you've got lots of in Surry Hills you've got the sly grog, you've got violence, you've got Aboriginal issues because someone is sort of one of the characters is
Charlie is and Margaret Kilker has she is definitely struggling with racism and her thoughts on this area. So you know it's really great for an audience to kind of characters work through their kind of issues, and then you have Hugh Darcy battling the booze and the decisions that he makes because he's sort of he's really we've really lost him to alcoholism and it's a very it's wonderful to sort of see all these characters deal with their demons really.
Sounds like another marvellous production that only the Sydney Theatre Company could do given the scale of this 18 actors on stage and two parts. You can binge watch The Harp in the South and it's starting
so we opened last week. So
you've already opened
Another 5 weeks.
Lovely.
Performance, yeah.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
We're really enjoying it. It's fantastic.
I bet the audiences are reacting very well as well.
Oh, yeah. They're really loving it. So it's a real treat to do. It's nice to do a piece of theatre that people enjoy, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Anita Hegg, it's been a delight talking to you. Thank you so much for talking to us here on Stages.
Thank you so much for your time.